excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best of
friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Turning our way, and our way
on the road again. Welcome to this big game edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the road home from the big game on November 21st. Well, congratulations to any Bears fans who still have any fingernails left or are not in near cardiac arrest, because that was a big game that left all of us on edge, didn't it? But the outcome was wonderful and lots of good things to talk about. But first, a recap. Stanford started out very strong with a 60-yard touchdown run by Toby Gerhardt on a 3rd-and-2 where he busted through the hole and there was nobody to stop him. And Stanford went up 7-0. Then when the Bears had to punt for the first time, that blocked punt that I said was coming did come. And at the worst of times, giving Stanford the ball back deep in Cal territory. And they quickly converted to go up 14-0 early in the first quarter. But the Bears really battled back. They kind of reached a stalemate at that point. And they drove the field twice, keeping the ball out of Stanford's hands so that they couldn't wear the Cal defense down, and moving the ball pretty well. Unfortunately, one possession ended in an interception off of a tipped ball on Shane Vereen's hand, and the other ended in a field goal. So the Bears were down 14-3, when statistically they were actually doing quite well, if not dominating the game. But after a few shared punts back and forth, the Bears put together another solid drive, this time converting the touchdown with less than a minute left in the first half. The Bears were able to hold Stanford's attempt to tack on some points before halftime, leaving the halftime score 10-14. But the Bears got the ball to start off the second half and promptly drove straight down the field to take their first lead 17-14. After forcing a Stanford punt, they marched straight down the field again and increased their lead to 24-14. At which point, the two teams started trading touchdowns. And when Cal went up 31-21 midway through the fourth quarter, I was starting to get pretty confident that they'd win out. Unfortunately, they let Stanford march down the field all too easily, and with 7 minutes left in the game, the Bears were now only up by a field goal. The Bears got pretty conservative at that point with the play calling, and another punt was forced by Stanford. And this is where things got really interesting. Stanford then had 3 consecutive incomplete passes, setting up a 4th-and-10 deep in their own territory. Harbaugh decided to go for it with less than 5 minutes left, and the play was incomplete, seemingly setting up a victory for the Bears. Unfortunately, with 3 timeouts for Stanford, the Bears could only get the clock down to 2:50 or so before kicking a field goal on a somewhat controversial play, where as opposed to going for the jugular and trying to score a touchdown through the air, Tedford forced Harbaugh to take his last timeout while centering the ball for a field goal that put the Bears up 34-28. Unfortunately, that's only 6 points, and a Stanford touchdown in that last 2 minutes and change would win the game for them. Things got really ugly at that point, with Stanford marching down the field again with far too much ease, capped mostly by a bruising run by Toby Gerhardt, who didn't burn the Bears today, but definitely made his presence felt. Then from the 13-yard line, Andrew Luck ran out of luck and threw an interception to end the game. And the Bears win 34-28. I think the first thing that needs to be talked about in this game is how much the Bears dominated this game. Really, it was Stanford who was on the lucky side of the ledger. This game felt a lot like the Arizona game, where Cal was coming up with the stop again and again versus Stanford, and moving the ball very well up and down the field on offense. I guess the Bears had 39 minutes time of possession, which is exactly what they wanted. Up until the mid-fourth quarter, the Bears had more rushing yards and more passing yards than Stanford had total yards, and really had stuck it to them all game. But somehow Stanford was still in this one, particularly thanks to those two early touchdowns that were mostly unearned. But the Bears really dominated today, and I think that's important to note. The defense did a wonderful job of bottling up Toby Gerhardt. They did an excellent job of keeping Andrew Luck confused. As I had talked about earlier in the week, I don't feel like Luck's that good of a quarterback. He's just had the luxury of teams having to focus so heavily on Gerhardt that his job's been all too easy. But you know what? The Bears managed to do both. They managed to both put a lot of people in the box and fall out into coverages very well and make Luck's job very difficult with confusing zone coverages. Everything that we love about the 3-4 was shown today. It was a really awesome, awesome defensive performance. And it's 2 weeks in a row that this defense has come up big. They had somebody there all the time. It was a extremely good defensive performance against a team that just ran through like wet paper USC and Oregon, teams that have been really stifling everyone else all season long. And then on offense, they started slow, but boy, they kept getting better as the game wore on. And I had so much confidence in that team by the end of that game, except for when the play calling got a bit predictable. But they were moving the ball. They're dominating the time of possession, was clearly taking its toll on the Stanford defense. And for the most part, even when they knew we wanted to run the ball, except when it was, you know, 100% thing down there late, we were still gaining big chunks, and Vereen was doing a great job and pushing the pile. And I mean, the running back who looked more like Toby Gerhardt had 34 on his jersey, not number 7. Vereen did a great job of being determined. And guess what? You know, I've been picking on the offensive line for most of the season. They really came through today in the run game. They were blocking well. They were pushing hard. They were opening holes. They did an excellent job in the run game. Now, their pass defense was okay. I mean, they weren't great, and Riley's lack of trust in them was very evident in how he got happy feet and moved out of the pocket too often. But it was okay. It definitely was not their strong point. But in the run game, they really earned their stripes today. That was a dominant performance by that offensive line in the run game. And how important is that? We've been looking for that for a long time, and they delivered today. Again, the receivers were catching, well, actually, the main guys were doing pretty well, but there were a number of drop balls today that were a bit frustrating, and particularly early in the game when they weren't clicking, that was really hurting the Bears. But as the game wore on and the big players stepped up, they did a great job, and Riley had an exceptional game. He did a very good job of picking his receivers. He read the field very well. He knew when to throw it away. He knew when to run. He didn't play perfect, but he played pretty darn good. And Stanford was trying to stop the run game, and guess what? Riley wouldn't let him. He'd say, nope, you're going to have to deal with me first. And it was a balanced offensive attack. 39 minutes of time of possession is huge. I don't think the Bears win this game if it's 30-30 because their defense would have gotten tired. But that defense never got tired. And why they never got tired? Because that offense kept moving the ball. And it was very impressive to see them do it over and over again. They almost always converted on those thirds and twos that were key to keeping drives rolling. It was really a dominant performance up and down. The mistakes is what got them. You know, that blocked punt really hurt. That one big 60-yard run really hurt. But outside of that, they completely shut him down. And then, of course, to seal the victory with the interception was wonderful. So, really a great performance, something to be very happy about. course, the special teams are still a little bit of a sticking point, and I'm going to be curious to listen to the interviews to see if anyone asks if all of these line drive kicks that Tavecchio were doing were intentional. It seems like it, because he did it every time. So I don't know if there's something going on that they were just conceding that and they felt they could beat Stanford without a good kicking game, but it's at a minimum a concession that we're not doing well there. And then again, on the other side of the ball, there was never any big run backs. The blocked punt was huge. The protection there continues to be weak and finally burned us for 7 points. Field goal kicking was fine. There was only one shot at it and all the two shots at it, and all the extra points were good. But it's just the special teams that really could burn the team at some point. You know, maybe not this season with only Washington left, but it's really the Achilles heel of the team. So let's look forward and see at other things that are coming up. I hear Oregon won in double overtime over Arizona. That means the Civil War will actually be for the Rose Bowl. The winner of the game goes to the Rose Bowl. And it also means Arizona has 3 conference losses, just like Cal, just like Stanford, just like USC. And Oregon State, with 2 losses, if they lose the Civil War, will end up with 3 losses, putting them in the mix. And then you've got Arizona and USC to play to knock one of them out of this 3-loss mix. So the way I think it works out is, I think if Oregon wins the Civil War and Arizona beats USC, the Bears have a really good shot at the Holiday Bowl, because you're going to have Oregon State, Arizona, Cal, and Stanford all at 3 losses. And Cal's beaten 2 of those teams and lost to 1. They're on a roll. They have a huge fan base. They've always showed up very well in San Diego. And I think that the Holiday Bowl is very interested. Now, if you flip that and you say Arizona loses to USC, I guarantee you that whoever's got their first shot at USC is going to take it. And so they're going to take USC. And now it gets much more dicey below that. But there's a good chance that we end up in the Sun Bowl. Now, if you flip the results of the Civil War, I think that pushes us down even one more game, because you have the 2 teams at 2 losses, Oregon and Oregon State, and that means the 3rd team is now Cal if USC is knocked out of the pile, and the 4th team is Cal, or perhaps the 5th team, because now maybe the Emerald Bowl enters into the fray, and that becomes a significant part of the equation. So the 2 key games are going to be that Civil War and the USC game. And I think we're for as far as our bowl placement, we're rooting for Oregon in the Civil War and Arizona in the Arizona-USC game. And the Bears could very well end up in the Holiday. And I think everybody who counted this team out needs to eat some crow and admit that this team had a lot of heart in them and a lot of fight in them, because nobody thought this team was going to be 9-3 at the end of the season when they lost back-to-back to Oregon and USC, and nobody thought that they could be tied for second in conference. And guess what? They are in a very good position to pull that off. So I think the lowest they fall at this point, though, is the Emerald Bowl, just because of how things work out. Unless they lose to Washington, that changes everything. And let's not overlook that game. You know, Washington is definitely not the team that they were when we lost to them in 2007. They're also not the team that people had high hopes about after beating USC. They're pretty darn weak. But you never, ever, ever overlook a trip to Seattle. But the good news is, I don't think this team does. I think this team has way too much heart. It's fought way too hard to get here. And they see that high bowl placement opportunity that exists out there. And they want to prove it. They want to prove that this team was not the team that was dismissed in October. This is the team that has a lot of heart. And Yeah, you got to give the team credit. You know, yeah, it wasn't a perfect year, and it was disappointing how things transpired. But you know what? Particularly if you just ignore that Oregon State game with the injury and how much that took the emotion out of that team, and you just say, you know, that's a really tough break, and we'll ignore that game. Then, I mean, this season, you know, just doesn't look that horrible. It looks really, really good, actually. Yeah, it's really tough to lose those games, but those are two teams that are very hard to beat, generally speaking. Other things to wrap up with tonight. This was, of course, as many of you know, Tedford's 100th game. So he's now 67 and 33. That means he's tied Pappy Waldorf for third place in number of wins, and he did it in four less games than Pappy. And I think that's a remarkable achievement for Tedford. It shows just how great of a coach he's been. And I really think people need to stop being so negative when a couple games go wrong, because this isn't 2007 anymore. 2007 is long gone, and this team has shown the heart and the fight that they didn't have in 2007. And guess what? Tedford learned from that experience, and he learned he had to be a head coach, not a super offensive coordinator. And this team has the kind of heart that is needed to rebound from the tough losses. On the more superstitious front, fellow blogger Jason Snell and I have kind of a tradition of meeting up before the big game at Stanford. And we met before the 2003 game. We met before the 2005 game. We did not meet at the 2007 bowl game, but we did meet today. So I really think that for good karma moving forward, we definitely need to keep meeting either before or during the game, because they don't lose in Palo Alto when we meet up. So definitely that's a good luck charm there. I think also my wife has been a good luck charm, because she wasn't with me in 2007. She was just about to have our third kid, and was just, I think, a week away from her due date. And all the other times we've gone to Stanford Stadium since Tedford's arrived, the Bears have won. So she's also got to keep coming to the games now. It's quite clear, just for superstition's sake. Okay, I think before I get any further down into some rabbit hole of weird thought, it's time to wrap this one up. But a great win for the Bears, great win for the program, great win to show all of the naysayers out there that this team has heart and fight. That was a good Stanford team. This is not a case of Stanford was overappreciated or overvalued. That was a very good team the Bears beat today. And they came out with, I'm going to say, their best performance of the season. And they did it on the road. They did it on grass, going back to my pet theory that's seeming to prove wrong this year. And they did it against a very tough team. And I just have nothing but positives. They overcame adversity. They were down 14 points. They didn't give up. This was a great win for the Bears. And I'm just ecstatic to have watched it and been a part of it. What a thrilling game to watch. What a thrilling game to be there in person for. And I'm really looking to wrapping up this season and hoping that the Holiday Bowl is still a possibility, because I'd love to go. So that's going to wrap it up. Jason and I are definitely planning on a Excuse Me For My Voice podcast this week. No Bear Territory podcast, because there won't be a press conference down in Berkeley this week. But there will be one the following after Thanksgiving. So look forward to those, and thank you for listening. On the road again.